May the words of my lips and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. It's a great joy to be with you today at this confirmation. I haven't been to Holy Covenant for some time, so it's really great to see such a crowd, especially in COVID times. And how many thousands are on Zoom right now too? I wonder if anyone's ever received a love letter. I asked this question at 8 o'clock, and actually people put their hand up. But you know, some of you will have received a love letter. You might still have it tucked away somewhere, holding on to it. Some of you may have written a letter of love and friendship to others, and you've probably, hopefully, you might have even kept a copy of it. You never know. Strangely, an email doesn't seem to cut it anymore on that kind of thing. Just imagine you send a love email. Doesn't make sense, does it? You'd have to print it off and keep a copy of it in an envelope. Now, email's different. Love letters are for snail mail. I received one last 2 weeks ago. Yep, here it is. I won't show you the... Well, I will. Quick. I can't show you the... It's crazy. A crazy birthday... card from my wife, Jennifer, who's down there, embarrassed about now, I think. But inside, she does what she always does. She fills it up. I mean, it was always interesting what's there. So I thought I might read it to you. You know, after you've been married a few years, there's some things you just don't do. Right? And I wouldn't want to share that with everybody anyway, dear. You know that. You may have seen the film on Netflix, Falling in Love, I-double-N, Falling in Love. A woman travels from the USA to New Zealand to take possession of a hotel, an inn, which she's won in a prize. Of course, it's a scam, you know, as she discovers. The place is not what it's cracked up to be. It's actually quite a dilapidated shack. However, in the walls of this house, she finds at some stage a cachet of love letters. Behind the previous owner, a portrait, behind that in the wall, a cachet of love letters sent between a soldier in World War I and his sweetheart in New Zealand. There was a moment in the film when the two lead characters read the letter to each other, and it becomes a sort of a marker for the unfolding of their emerging love. It's lighthearted, somewhat predictable romance story, full of cliches, average rating on Rotten Tomatoes 5.7, and I thought that was generous. But seriously, we have the beginnings of a love letter today. The Apostle Paul, in the opening verses of his letter to the church at Philippi, it takes us on a journey into the heart of God. A love letter to friends, in style and form, the letter conforms to those criteria of the letters of friendship in the ancient Greco-Roman world. But the note of friendship and affection is unmistakable. And I'm just going to duck over here to read it again to you because I didn't have the text in my... Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints who are in Philippi, grace to you. He doesn't say... Paul, apostle with authority, he says, Paulos. He begins, I, Paulos. I'm Paul, your friend, the one who cares for you, the one that has been welcomed into this church in the past. It's me. And then he says, I thank my God for every remembrance of you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you. What a beautiful way to open a letter of love and friendship. I thank my God for every time, not every time I remember you, because sometimes I forget, but for all my remembrance. It's the whole package. I just am full of thanks for the memories. They don't have to be conscious to me all the time. And you might feel like that in relation to those that are your nearest and dearest. I don't simply thank God for remembering on occasions, but for the remembrance. And the chapter one is full of the joy of somebody who has been so dearly and greatly beloved by Paul. So hold that thought while I go back to my sermon. These are memories not only of the church at Philippi, but of the God that they discovered when Paul came as the messenger of the gospel years before. Because Philippi was a city of 10,000 people in the ancient world, and it had many gods and many hopes and unfulfilled dreams. And the apostle in this letter reminds them that the God they have secretly been longing for the whole of their life, but not even being able to name that God, they have discovered when Paul came. The God they awaited for, the God they had longed for, the God who seeks the lost, the broken, the proud. It's very important that God seeks the proud, otherwise we're all done. We heard it in the prophet Malachi today. The prophet who says, God will send a messenger of the God that you wait for. All of these messages from the Old Testament in this time of Advent point to the God who is coming, who changes hearts and minds, whose eternal spirit breathes love and friendship. And so Paul's letter to the Philippians, a letter of love and friendship, I think I've called it the letter, it's about the new normal. We all know about the new normal, don't we? Things will never be the same again from the last couple of years. So we hear that bandied around all the time. It is different. There is a new normal. And I thought about this and I thought, well, that's true. And we're still trying to figure that out. And it's not easy. But where the light of Christ shines, when the spark of faith happens in people's lives, when there is a flame of God's love that embeds itself in a community of people, that's the new normal. In the Christian church, we've had the new normal for 2,000 years. So you have to balance out that deep, long, rich tradition of treasures of the new normal in relation to the new normal that's happening in our world today. There's a bit of a tension. How to live in this COVID world, but with the secrets of another world. It's a real challenge. The letter of Paul breathes a different air from the letters he wrote to the Corinthians, who were a difficult lot. He was always having problems with them. He was chiding them because they went overboard in so many things. Ill discipline. And to the letter to the church at Galatia, he said, oh, look, you've got to loosen up a bit, folks. You're all in cages. You need to break out. I think they were Anglo-Saxons. Corinthians, Galatians. He had a hard time with them all. He wasn't well received. He was battered and bruised by them. But at Philippi, at that church, it was different. Here, he didn't have any of that acrimony that he had in those other churches. Why is this so? We are told in the Acts of the Apostles of how the church at Philippi was founded. Paul, if you might recall, had a vision. It's recorded in the Acts of the Apostles. And it said, come over to Macedonia and help us. Philippi is in Macedonia. He went to Philippi. He had a sense that the Lord had called him to bring a message of love and friendship to a people longing to hear it. And it was at Philippi that we hear that wonderful story of Lydia, the dealer and weaver of purple. It's just a beautiful story. And her heart was opened when she heard the message of the gospel. And she and her whole household were baptized, and the church was born from a dealer in purple. And it was at Philippi that Paul and his companions were hounded by a slave girl who kept shouting, these are the servants of the Most High God. Now, you might hear that once, But if someone followed you around all the time for 5 days, you'd be getting a little bit weary of listening to that. And finally, Paul rebuked the spirit here. And the young woman stopped, and she was being traded in the economy. And all of a sudden, the income line from her fortune-telling had been broken. And the slave owners were so furious that they had Paul thrown in prison. We read about that in the Acts of the Apostles, but it happened at Philippi. And then, of course, in Philippi was the place where the earthquake occurred. The jailer sees that the prisoners are about to escape. He's about to commit suicide, and Paul and his colleagues said, no, don't do that. Don't do that. And he said, well, what am I supposed to do? How can I be saved? Those famous words. And the rest is history. That's all at Philippi. The fledgling church was born out of the love that the apostle brought to them and bore in his heart for the love of God for them. So he wrote this letter that we heard a snippet of today, a letter of deep friendship, because of the remarkable things that had occurred. Here was a church that he loved and knew he was welcomed at, and there was no baggage. You know, we all carry around baggage, and Paul had a lot of baggage, I can tell you, from all the places he'd been and places he'd been thrown out of. But here was a letter of friendship without baggage, written with affection. And so he says in his letter, it is right for me to feel this way about you, since I have you in my heart, my dear friends, you whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown. At this church, the apostle knows what it feels like to be loved, to find a safe place, to be welcomed. And as I heard that, I thought, well, what about your safe places? You know, where are the places in your life that you feel loved and welcomed and safe? I don't mean the places where you never have any disputation. I mean, that's I don't know where that universe lives, but where are your safe places? I mean, we're in a world right now where people feel so unsafe and so frightened. This church, it's a safe place. It's a safe place. I was just briefly talking to the confirmees before we began and asked them what were the things that some of the things they really enjoyed about the Alpha course they'd been doing in preparation. And one of the things that came through was learning about the different perspectives that people have and the different views, how helpful that is. It'd be really good for our political leaders and others to start to rejoice in the diversity of things, wouldn't it? Then it'd be a safe country. Safe church, safe place. Philippi was such a safe place. And it was where he had given sacrificially to them and he had received from them. He said to them, you know, not one church has given me aid to take to the other churches that were in need, except you, Mob, except you lot. You're the only ones that shared sacrificially from your poverty. And that's why in Paul's letter to the Philippians, there is that famous text about Christ, who, although he was in the form of God, did not cling to equality with God as a thing to be grasped hold of, but he emptied himself. He gave himself sacrificially. And being found in human form, he suffered death even on a cross. So that is thought to be an ancient Christian hymn, and the Apostle Paul refers to it in this love letter to the Philippians. He's making a point that a sacrificial life has its foundations in the life of Jesus, even death on a cross. That's the twist in this letter. You might find plenty of other letters about friendship and love, but in the Roman world, a mark of great shame was to be on a cross. Not the kind of thing that you would expect to hear in a letter of love and friendship, but for Paul the Apostle, it was at the very heart of the gospel. So in the light of all this, what is truly remarkable is that this letter to the church at Philippi is so full of joy and thanksgiving. Next week, you'll hear a reading, "Rejoice always, again, I say rejoice," from the same letter. So in the season of Advent, where our hopes and longings for a new world, a new normal with God in it, here is a letter of hope and joyfulness. And so Paul says to the people in this letter, "You are my joy and my crown. I thank my God always for you." That is the reason why at confirmation and Sunday by Sunday, we break the bread and we have the cup, symbols of thanksgiving, of a life given sacrificially, a life of love given. Eucharist is Eucharistia, thanksgiving. And it's buried in the heart of this letter. When today you receive the bread in your hands, and the confirmees will do this also, this is a sign of the heartbeat of the letter, of Paul's letter to the Philippians. So this letter, my friends, offers a glimpse into the way of friendship with God and one another. It is a rich tapestry of God's love and friendship that makes the world go round. And so I can think of no better advice or suggestions. I'm not allowed to give advice, that's what I've been told, and I shouldn't, even though I swear it's in the Bible somewhere. I'd like it to be. I could make no better suggestion to those to be confirmed today than that each of you take time out sometime in the next few days to read the four chapters of the letter to the Philippians. Because here is a letter not hidden in a wall, a secret letter stashed away, but a letter for public consumption in the public arena. And it has been for 2,000 years. It's a letter containing a treasure trove for all to read, learn, mark, and inwardly digest, as the ancient Book of Common Prayer used to teach us. And finally, here is the magic. Here is the magic. When the letter is read, when it is truly heard, when it is truly heard, something happens. Like when you get that letter that you received once upon a time from someone that you loved, and you read it again, they become present again. They become present again. The Spirit of God meets our spirit. God's love touches us yet again. We are refreshed in body, mind, and spirit. So, my friends, it's worth a read, because it's a good read. Amen.